Blog Talk Radio.
I was toting my pack along the dusty Winnemucca Road when along came a semi with a high-end canvas covered load. If you're going to Winnemucca, Mac, with me you can ride. And so I climbed into the cab and then I settled down inside. He asked me if I'd seen a road with so much dust and sand, and I said, listen, I've traveled every road in this here land. I've been everywhere, man. I've been everywhere, man. Across the deserts bare, man. I breathe the mountain air, man. Of travel I've had my share, man. I've been everywhere. I've been to Reno, Chicago, Fargo, Minnesota, Buffalo, Toronto, Winslow, Sarasota, Wichita, Tulsa, Ottawa, Oklahoma, Tampa, Panama, Mattawa, La Paloma, Bangor, Baltimore, Salvador, Amarillo, Tocopilla, Barranquilla, and Padilla. I'm a killer. I've been everywhere, man. I've been everywhere, man. Across the desert, bear, man. I breathe the mountain air, man. Travel, I've had my share, man. I've been everywhere. I've been to Boston, Charleston, Dayton, Louisiana, Washington, Houston, Kingston, Texas, County, Monterey, Faraday, Santa.
It's time for the next edition of the Riveting Jumble Justice Radio Show, broadcast worldwide on Blog Talk Radio. Turn up your speakers and listen closely, since you may be asked questions later. Keep your phone handy, since we encourage you to call in your comments to the host and guests on today's show. The listener call-in number is 347-996-5983. Once again, the number is 347-996-5983. You will also find the number on the top of the homepage for the Jumble Justice Radio Show. I'm Audrey, your technical and spiritual advisor for the radio broadcast. And now, without further delay, allow me to introduce your eminently qualified and inspiring host for Jumble Justice, Professor Keith Haley.
Well, thank you very much, Audrey, and I know you're happy today because we finally saw some sunshine. Yes, they have sunshine in this part of the country, but rare as it is, it peeked through today for at least a little bit. Audrey's going to like this show tonight because it's about spies, and you know how British people are in spy novels, right, Audrey? But yeah, I think you'll enjoy the show tonight if all of our technology works. And ladies and gentlemen, I apologize last week for the clog up. We're using the same equipment we usually use. I suspect it's my stuff versus Blog Talk Radio Network stuff, but they are getting very popular. There are literally thousands and thousands of shows on there, and who knows what's happened. Who knows how many of those are broadcast in the prime time between 7 and 10 o'clock. But anyway, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Blog Talk Radio Network, and this is the Jumble Justice Radio Show, number 4,306. No, it seems like that. It's not that many, but welcome to the show. I'm your host, Keith Haley. I want to thank Johnny again for taking us across the country on that long trip. You know, I heard something today on the news that surprised me, and it said that the average salary for over-the-road truck drivers last year was only something like $41,000. I'm going to check that out at the Bureau of Labor Statistics site, but that's not enough, is it? I mean, trucks bring us better living to so many places, and the most remote places in the United States, but somebody, you know, time is money, and I know, and they're dangerous to be around on the freeway, but $41,000 a year, come on. I mean, I thought they were doing better than that, and I hope they get a raise. Emily and Mike, thank you very much for joining us. Mike, I've got a tip for you tonight. When we get to the green tip, I want to point something out to you, because I've seen you violate this. We can be saving the planet if you follow my tip. Okay, the purpose of our show is to discuss news issues, events, and developments. And it's always difficult and sometimes humorous practice of criminal justice. We got a couple of examples of some odd things going on tonight. I don't know if they're exactly humorous, but they are strange. Let's put it that way. We dedicate the show to these energetic police and courts and corrections and juvenile justice people that serve us throughout the United States and throughout the world. We try to look up close at criminal justice, take a closer look at criminal justice practice. You're listening on the Blog Talk Radio Network. I've encouraged some, and once in a while, two or three have actually done it. You can get your own radio show. Just think of that. If you happen to be tuning in for the first time, you stumbled across the millions of zillions of steps you can take on the Internet, and you found Blog Talk Radio, you can have your own show. Any person, any interest group, any organization. can have their own show and broadcast live and streaming audio worldwide. Think of that 10 years ago. People would have said you were insane to even suggest something like that. But Alan Levy has actually put that that together. He's the CEO of Blog Talk Radio. Tonight's show, we're going to be talking about something that a favorite subject of mine, espionage and counterintelligence and all that business in the United States. And we're going to have Douglas Waller present his book about Wild Bill Donovan. When he said Wild Bill, he really means Wild Bill. And this is a guy that was the spy master who actually created the Office of Secret Service. That's our first national spy agency, and then moved on into the modern espionage area, the CIA, et cetera. The guy was an unusual person, to say the least. And the book is probably a good read. If everything looks right, you'll get to hear Douglas Waller, who was a Time and Newsweek correspondent, present that. You can call into the show during the news segment if you want. 347-996-5983. It's 347-996-5983. Audrey, you have a blonde joke tonight, and I know what you're going to tell me. You're going to do something that you don't normally do, and I realize that. She's going to give us a list of one-liners, but every one of these are funny. So, Audrey, why don't you go ahead with our blonde jokes, plural, tonight.
Professor Haley, tonight we are going to do a list of one-liners for our blonde joke. We ordinarily don't do that, but this is a real funny list. Here it is. I knew a blonde that was so stupid that she called me to get my phone number. She spent 20 minutes looking at the orange juice box because it said concentrate. She put lipstick on her forehead because she wanted to make up her mind. She tried to put M&Ms in alphabetical order. She sent me a fax with a stamp on it. She tried to drown a fish. She thought a quarterback was a reef and she got locked in a grocery store and starved to death. She tripped over a cordless phone. She took a ruler to bed to see how long she slept. She asked for a price check at the dollar store. She studied for a blood test. She thought Meowmix was a CD for cats. When she heard that 90% of all crimes occur around the home, she moved. When she missed the 44 bus, she took the 22 bus twice instead. When she took you to the airport and saw a sign that said airport left, she turned around and went home.
Good honey, Audrey, on that list. I enjoyed that very much. Ladies and gentlemen, on a much more serious matter, the Ohio Gun Coalition has a message that they want to send out to the criminals in the state of Ohio and around the nation if they hear this message, that they should turn in that Go Ahead Ohio Coalition against firearms.
Carrying concealed handguns in Ohio? It's a deadly idea. A message from the Ohio Coalition Against Gun Violence.
It certainly is, and I hope the criminals in the state of Ohio and others that are listening tonight will take note and turn their firearms in. Well, we have a green tip tonight, Mike, and this one is for you. Being a gum chewer, I have seen you do this numerous times. Use some type of substance or a cleanser or something to get gum off your clothes if you got stuck on your clothes. Well, here is tip number 34 out of Esma Floyd's little book, 1001 Ways to Save the Planet. And, Mike, you can help in this matter. And here's the tip for you particularly. Don't resort to expensive and highly chemical solutions for getting rid of chewing gum stuck to clothing. Instead, rub with ice and the gum will slowly flake off. So from now on, instead of seeing you rub that with a rag or a tissue or something to get that gum off your clothes, your trousers, your sweater, I want to see you using ice cubes. So take note of that. I'm worried about ice cubes, though. I guess it takes energy. We'll get to that. We'll get to that later on. But that's our green tip for the night. Let's take a look at some of the news stories. We've got some really odd ones out there tonight. I think folks will kind of enjoy this. Let me get this rolling here. You know, I have this problem all the time myself, but what's happened here is the Michigan State Police have figured out a way to help you organize your cell phone. You know, people, cell phones are so complicated now, your iPhone and your all the Androids and who knows how many different versions and systems there are. But, you know, you get pictures on there and movies and files and email messages and text messages and all that. The Michigan State Police are going to help you. They now do cell phone searches during traffic stops without warrants. Yes, the Michigan State Police have a high-tech mobile forensic device that will read everything on your cell phone when they stop you. And you might imagine the American Civil Liberties Union is not real happy about this. And they're not sending them the information. ACLU asks for a public information request. You know, what are you collecting? And how does this thing work? And the Michigan State Police said, we'll be glad to respond to your information request if you give us $544,680. ACLU said they found that to be outrageous. I concur. But these law enforcement officers are known on occasion to encourage citizens to cooperate if they have nothing to hide. There's, you know, that shouldn't, nothing wrong with it. You can ask people. But they're taking this information. The thing is called a Cellbrite, S-E-L-L-E, or Cellbrite, U-F-E-D, and they stop you on the traffic, and they can, the device works on 3,000 different phone models. Can you believe that? And it defeats your passwords. If something's stored secretly, like in a file on your phone, they can bleed off the whole thing on the spot. Is that incredible or what? So anyway, it's interesting. You probably saw the news today, too, yesterday, about the iPhone. That it's storing every location you've ever been in. I think it does it for the iPad, too. So somebody gets your iPhone or your iPad. Why would they do that? I have no, Mike, what do you think? I have no idea. Emily, got any ideas? I have none. But anyway, I thought that's something. Michigan State Police, I heard a broadcaster up in the Toledo area say that, you know, his doggone cell phone is so confusing and so complicated. He thinks he's going to drive over the state line and drive up into Michigan to get stopped for the cops and let them help him figure out how to get this stuff off his cell phone. I thought that was funny. But isn't that incredible that they're doing that? That seems like an invasion of privacy. I won't privacy. I'm going to go long on this one. But my favorite sheriff in the United States, Sheriff Joe Arpaio out in Maricopa County, Phoenix, he's got a new little thing he's doing. I don't think he's the first to do this. Actually, there was he, Mike. We talked about a guy who was doing this earlier, but he's putting favorite mugshots of people arrested up on the screen or up on his website, and then you can vote on what they, on how they look, that type of thing. Another idea of shaming criminals like he does. And in fact, I saw this article in the Daily Mail, the British newspaper, that if you ever read the Mail, you know that it's loaded with pictures. It's picture after picture after picture just in a in a simple article, but it's got a picture of a female chain gang there. They're all chained together, and they're all out working what looks like they're working real hard, pictures in color, and they're all chained together, and they're in a black and white striped jail or prison uniform. But that's something. The federal government, by the way, has asked, thinking of privacy, the courts have gone a couple ways on this. One, federal appeal courts approved this. Other courts didn't. But people can put, the cops can put a GPS on your car, they can slip up in your driveway, and underneath your fender well or something, they can stick a GPS device on there, and then they can track everywhere you go. Some people think this is a violation of their Fourth Amendment rights, the amendment the lovers of liberty love the most, and others are saying not. So they're asking that the courts take a look at this and see what they can get done. In terms of doing that, getting a ruler on that. Now, this is a good one. Ladies and gentlemen, as we try to save the planet, there's so many things ruining our existence and contributing to global warming. Well, the National Institute of Science and Technology, yes, another federal agency, they have decided that one of the really harmful things going on, I'm not even going to get the article out because it'll make me cough or regurgitate or something, but anyway, they have decided that one of the most costly items in your home in terms of energy consumption is the refrigerator. And companies have been pushing for years to keep the the voltage down or the whatever amperage, whatever it uses. And now the National Institute of Science and Technology, they have discovered that one of the things that makes this refrigerator use so much is the ice maker. The automatic ice maker, you know, you hear the cubes drop down every so often, or I guess it stops when it gets so high. I don't study ice makers, but they're thinking that if you want to help save the planet, and if we want to cut down on home consumption of energy, we ought to stop ice makers and just get yourself a couple of ice trays. What an idea. I love these federal people sitting around thinking about these wonderful things to help us save the planet. And in the meantime, I hope they're sitting in a dark room and everything they have is turned off so that they're not consuming a lot of energy. Anyway, I thought that was something else. We talked about this last week on the show about the little girl who was the six-year-old that was searched at the airport, the full pat-down type of search of the TSA agent actually put her hands inside of her jeans, that type of thing. That is really getting a lot of play. I feel sorry for the little girl because that thing's on YouTube, I guess, and all over the place. It'll exist for a long time. But I'm hearing other people comment, and they're saying that this was a statutory rape. I mean, to actually search this little six-year-old girl, see if she was carrying bombs or narcotics or who knows what it was. When are we going to use IQ for selection criteria in this TSA? I mean, this is absolutely insane. And, of course, Janet Napolitano came and said, we're always looking for better ways, but in the meantime, we'll continue with what we're doing. But think of that little girl going through that, and her parents were embarrassed. And I think they should sue big time, and I hope they win. I'd love to be an expert commentator in a case like that or whatever, but absolutely incredible that is going on. I think that about that. Oh, video games. Let me talk about that one. It's a research-oriented thing. For years and years and years and years and years, researchers, psychologists, criminologists, etc., have studied violent video games. What are they? Mortal Kombat, things like that. I've never played one, but anyway, they strongly suggest a link between smashing on-screen skulls and increased aggression and violence in people that do this in society. It's been duplicated, replicated, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of studies. In fact, they talk about a meta study on here that looked at 113 different cases. Well, some economist comes along, and he says just the opposite. He went around and found out where all these little game stores are, video game stores, and the areas closest to the video game stores actually had the least violence in society. And he says it's a strong correlation relationship. And, of course, this is dum-dum research, correlation research only, that says anything that's closely related, one thing caused the other. Well, it doesn't. You know, hot tar and diaper rash occur at the same time, but one doesn't cause the other. You can go on and on with that type of thing. They try to also say that what? The Super Bowl game caused domestic violence on Super Bowl Sundays in the United States. Yeah, sure. But anyway, I thought that was unusual that this guy comes out and says there's no relationships whatsoever. And this has been studied ad nauseum, believe me, video games. RUR, that's social learning theory, essentially what it's called. Are you what you see and intake into society? Are we more violent from watching television? Television violence, there was a big study 20, 30 years ago, the biggest one ever done, television and human behavior, and it showed that we are what we kind of see. We inculcate this stuff into our system. But anyway, kind of an interesting idea. Then this economist comes along outside of the other social sciences, and he says that no, you're all wrong, that seeing the violence actually decreases violence in a particular area whatsoever. Whatever. All right, that's enough for tonight. I think we're going to get the news off, and we're going to go listen to a very good show, and I hope the technology works for us. Give us a minute here to get this set up. We're going to be listening to Douglas Waller, and he's a Time and Newsweek correspondent. I don't know which he works for now exactly, but he's talking about his book called The Wild Bill Donovan, The Spy Master Who Created the OSS, that's Office of Secret Service, and the modern American Espionage. It's very interesting how this, we already talked about the CIA once on here in the book, Legacy of Ashes, but this guy fits into it real well. So Let's hope this works good. Give us a minute to get it set up, and I think you'll enjoy this one.
Douglas Wallace, former correspondent for Time and Newsweek magazine, recounts the life of William Wildbill Donovan, often thought of as the father of the CIA. Mr. Waller examines William Donovan's leadership of the Office of Strategic Services during the Second World War, and his
Well, I'm telling you, Book TV is either the biggest, the busiest place on the internet, or they have some of the slowest equipment. Because this has happened to us twice. Let's see what happens here. Don't leave. I think we might be able to fix it.
Douglas Waller, former correspondent for Time and Newsweek magazine, recounts the life of William Wild Bill Donovan, often thought of as the father of the CIA. Mr. Waller examines William Donovan's leadership of the Office of Strategic Services during the Second World War and his thoughts on the use of counterintelligence. This lasts about an hour.
I'm glad they have the first. So, Donovan up here. This is really kind of an iconic portrait. Out of Donovan. You'll see that when you go to the OSS. Meetings, and this is the one folks commonly identify him with. Actually, there's a funny story behind it. You'll notice he has his hair cut real short here. Actually, he's got a crew cut. He was out in the field most of the time when he was running the OSS, and he liked to go in on landings, Allied landings, and we'll talk about that a little bit later. And very often, he would have the ship barber or the military barber give him a crew cut before he went out. And of course, when he got back to headquarters, he would get teased by the headquarters staff. Wallace Duell, who was on his personal staff, would pop his head in and say, "Hey, that's some haircut you got there, mister." And Donovan laughed. He loved it. And he got a lot of these haircuts because he was out in the field a lot and made a lot of military landings. The book Wild Bill Donovan is really three stories. Okay? It's a biography of a truly heroic figure who suffered actually a lot of personal tragedy in his life. It's a spy story with a lot of accounts of very daring operations that they conducted. And as Peter mentioned, it's also a story of political intrigue at the highest levels of government in Washington and also overseas. That part of it was the one that probably interested me the most. The personal story on Donovan. It's a very, very rich one. I would have actually loved to have been a reporter back then covering Donovan. And in fact, I probably would have. Donovan liked reporting. He leaked to them very frequently. He had reporters on his staff. When he went overseas, particularly before he joined or formed the OSS, he would work sometimes part-time as a reporter. He was an interesting man, and he was probably about this high, actually fairly short, one large, when he ran the OSS in his 60s, the female agents, some of them thought he was actually kind of penguin-shaped. And some of them even mentioned it to him, and he kind of laughed, and he kind of didn't. He slept probably 5 hours or less a night, could speed read at least 3 books a week. He was an excellent ballroom dancer. He loved to sing Irish songs. He would go buy up sheet music. A Broadway musical so he could memorize the words. He didn't smoke. He rarely drank. He enjoyed fine dining, but unfortunately that put on the weight. He spent lavishly with no concept for a dollar. Whenever he was out, traveling, he always had an aide with him. He always kept money because Donovan never had any on him, and he was always mooching off his aide. He never showed anger. Instead, he let it boil inside him. He was rakishly handsome as a young man, and even into his senior years, he had bright blue eyes that women found captivating. But his life was also filled with personal tragedy. His daughter, his daughter-in-law, and a granddaughter all died at very early ages. He was born New Year's Day, 1883, in Buffalo, New York's Poor Irish First Ward. He thought at one point he was going to be a Catholic priest, but then he decided he really wasn't cut out for the cloth. So he went to Columbia University, was a quarterback of the Columbia football team in senior year, then went on to Columbia Law School. Franklin Roosevelt, incidentally, was a classmate of Donovan, although the two never mixed. Roosevelt was from a much higher social strata than Donovan was. So they never really talked to each other in law school. He returned to Buffalo became a successful lawyer, married into Protestant wealth there. In World War I, he won the Medal of Honor for heroism in combat. He was absolutely fearless in combat. In fact, his chaplain, Father Francis Duffy, said that Donovan was the few guys he'd ever met who actually enjoyed combat. Okay. He commanded a battalion in the 69th Irish Regiment, a very famous New York City regiment. And when he won the medal, executive officer and the ground commander. That's also where he got the nickname Wild Bill. Before before the U.S. entered into the war and Donovan had his troops in Europe training him, he put them through just absolutely grueling, brutal training. And at one time, after a long march, and they'd been running all day with full packs and crawling through obstacle courses, his men all collapsed in front of him, and he got up there and he said, well, you know, what the hell's the matter with you? I've been running the same course with you, and I haven't broken a sweat, and I'm not even panning. And out of the back somewhere, some trooper yelled out, he never found out who, but we're not as wild as you are, Bill. From that day on, Wild Bill Donovan stuck. He claimed to be upset with the nickname, that it was ran counter to his kind of professional, cool, quiet image. But his wife, Ruth, knew that he really liked it. He returned to New York a hero. In 1932, he ran as a Republican candidate for governor of New York. He was running against Lieutenant Governor Herbert Lehman, who was Roosevelt's Lieutenant Governor. Of course, in 1932, Roosevelt made his first run for the presidency. Donovan's ultimate goal was to be the country's first Irish Catholic president, and New York was the ideal stepping stone for a launch for the presidency. He ended up running as much against FDR as he did against Herbert Lehman. Said some very nasty things about Roosevelt. He was a dyed-in-the-wool Republican, and he thought the whole New Deal idea was crazy. So at one point, he called Roosevelt crafty. You know, back then, that was a fighting word. Or he called him another campaign stop, a Hyde Park banker.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, I'm sorry. It looks like we're not going to make it. It's going to go on and off, and you're kind of getting this in text message format, a sentence at a sentence at a time. So we're going to cut it off. And I think we'll make a switch here. Kind of an odd switch, but we'll keep you on here for a few more minutes. So we're going to look at an old radio show. Each one of these shows is like 5 minutes in length, and it was called the Carolyn Day Detective. And I'll bet most people have never heard of this, but kind of an interesting thing. So we'll let you listen to that as we move forward tonight.
My father's detective. Larry would have seen to that. Lieutenant Larry Lubeck of the homicide squad. I'd met him through my father, and he saw in me the eyes, feelings, and nature. So here, too. I remember that day, just after I'd taken over the empathy, Larry and I were walking along the hall toward my office, in the stairs. I've made up my mind.
Change it. Now, it's too Larry.
Wait a minute. There was somebody at the end of the hall. No, he's coming. When he saw us coming, he must have ducked down the back stairs.
You see what I mean? They don't come anymore gently or kind or trusting in your angel face, but already you're becoming suspicious of your own sense.
But Larry, why should he disappear just like that?
People do the
downstairs,
you know. It's done every day. I've even done it myself.
Yes. Just because he saw us. I know I have a funny feeling, and I don't like it. Oh, well. Come on. I'll show you how to fix up the office. A minute. Well, there it is. What do you think?
Oh, no, Carolyn.
What's the matter?
Lace, Kurt.
They're not lace. They're net.
Okay, net. Flowers. Yes, a little china pig. It breaks my heart.
What do you mean?
I told you, this is no business for a woman, especially you.
Now, let's not go into that again.
The first time somebody spills blood into a pretty slick covers, you'll see what I mean.
Larry.
I can't like it. Look at this place. Not even a saloon.
Yes, sir. On the table.
On the table?
Mm-hmm. Right there, with the flowers in it.
Here we go. Get married, no. There's a limit to everything, and this is it. Wow, it's a platoon. Come on.
Barry, that's enough. Stop fooling.
I'm not fooling. I need to be able to look a self-respecting criminal in the face just for knowing.
Oh, you are crazy.
Yeah, I do. Oh, you and I could make you.
Uh-oh. Just a second. Hello. You're on a date with Detective Agency. Yes, this is the story. Huh? Hello? Hello? Yeah, I'm not.
Who was it? Clark?
I don't know.
Well, what do you want?
Just wanted to know if I was here. Larry, I don't like it. Something's wrong.
You probably just cut off. Well, I have to go.
Can I ask you?
Yeah. Well, you get tired of playing cops and robbers. You like playing cops. You know where to find
me.
Oh,
goodbye, silly. Now, let's see. I ought to get the... Oh, did you forget something? Oh,
Larry. No, I ain't Larry.
And you got a gun?
Yeah, I got a gun.
Well, what do you want?
You're coming with me.
Am I?
Yeah.
Where?
You'll find out. Now, get going.
When he saw my taste in decor run to gay colors and frilly things. it clinched his opinion that I just wasn't the type for a detective. He wanted me to quit the business and marry him. I refused, but almost immediately I wished I hadn't, because an ugly little man walked into my office, pointed a gun at me, and said,
"You're coming with me."
"Am I?"
"Yeah.
Where?"
"You'll find out. Now get moving."
"But there must be some mistake. I don't even know
you're
you."
"You're Carol O'Day, ain't you?"
"Yes."
"Well, there's no mistake. Now get moving. Hurry up. And no tricks. I'm warning you. I can be plenty repulsive when I got it."
"I can believe that.
Especially when I got a gun."
"Well, I wish you wouldn't keep pointing it at me. It makes me nervous."
"Well, it would make me nervous if I didn't. Now let's go."
"Wait a minute. I've seen you somewhere before."
"Oh, no, you don't. I told you, no tricks."
"It's not a trick. I've seen you somewhere. I'm sure of it now."
"Okay, you seen me. Now let's go."
"I know. You used to come to the house to visit my father."
"Huh? Your father?"
"You used to know a lot of underworld characters. I mean, we had a lot of acquaintances. You see, he was a detective."
"A detective? Wait a minute. Carolyn Day.
Yes.
Day. Hey, are you Randy Day's daughter?"
"Yes. And now I know you're Buster Brown."
"Yeah, that's right. Well, what do you know?"
"Randy Day's daughter."
"Hey, wait a minute.
What's the matter?"
"She was just a little girl."
"I used to be a little girl, see?"
"Oh, yeah. Gee, how time flies. Randy Day, little girl. You know, he was a swell guy, Miss Day. He used to lend me money between jobs."
"He liked you, Bugsy. He always hoped you'd go straight."
"I almost did, for his sake. But I decided not to, for my sake. I wouldn't have been no good at it."
"Well, Bugsy, now that we remember each other, won't you put that gun away?"
Oh, sure."
"And now, what is it you want with me?"
"Oh, yeah, that. Well, I'm sorry, Miss Day. The boss says me and Luke, I should get you."
"Why?"
"I don't know. Honest. Luke is waiting down in the car right now. I don't know what to do."
"I wonder what they want with me."
"Well, whatever it is, it ain't good. Because Luke, he's a very rough character. You better not go with us."
"Well, thanks for the warning, Bugsy."
"Yeah, but what can I tell Luke? You know, he's going to be awful sore."
"You think of something, Bugsy."
"Well, we better."
"Couldn't you just tell Luke that I wasn't up here?"
"Nah, he just wait."
"Let's see. Oh, maybe we could... Oh.
Luke."
"Yeah. What was keeping you?"
"Well, Luke, we...
"What's the matter?"
"Nothing."
"Okay. Let's get going. Come on, sister."
"Hey, now, wait a minute, Luke. I forgot something."
"What?"
"This."
"Oh, no.
I got a mistake. I got a
mistake. Oh, Luke.
Don't do that. Fuzzy. Immediately wished I hadn't, because a thug walked into my office and tried to kidnap me. But the thug turned out to be Bugsy Brown, an underworld character my father once tried to reform. Unfortunately, the reform didn't take. but Bugsy liked my father, and for his sake was trying to let me go when Bugsy's partner Luke walked in. Bugsy just lost his mind, and still can't fly, and so he's one of my favorite things.
I got him a date. No, you don't. That'll stop him.
Bugsy.
Okay, Bugsy. What's the idea? Oh, my God.
Oh.
It's broke. You better start talking or your head will get broke.
You're wrong, mister. You're
Oh, nice God, Miss Day.
Nice nothing. That was my favorite lamp. Oh, now let me
help. Oh, thanks. Oh. Now what will we do?
You watch Luke. I'll see if I can find something to tie him up with.
Okay. Hey, wait a minute. Where's my gun? I must have dropped it.
Oh, there he is. Luke's lying on it.
Yeah.
Bugsy, he's coming too. He's reaching for the gun.
Hey, I'm getting out of here.
Bugsy, wait. Oh, dear. Bugsy, where are you?
Here I am, Miss Day. Yeah, this way. I'm a step.
Oh, yes.
Oh, here's a scoop. Screw
this, Sam.
Careful, any steps,
though. Oh, Bugsy, why did you run out? Luke was still blocking when I first noticed him. You could have taken the gun.
Yeah, I didn't think. Well, here's the street. Now what? Oh, that wouldn't do no good. Luke has a key.
Then come on, this way.
Yeah, well, where are you going?
There's an alley alongside the building. We can hide in it.
Oh.
Yes. He's a squint.
Yeah.
All right, sir. Right here. I'll stand back in the doorway so he passes the street. You won't see us.
Okay.
I don't know. I can't see.
Detective, and you heard a little bit of Wild Bill Donovan. I'm sorry about C-SPAN. and their book TV site. And C-SPAN is about the same way. That's 2 weeks in a row, so we're going to junk the idea of using audio from either one of those sites. Both are run by C-SPAN. C-SPAN's a wonderful network. I've watched it for years on television, but you probably ought to get a chance to take a look at that book, Wild Bill Donovan. It sounds like it's a real good one. I'm going to pick it up myself. And we're about done, so we'll see you next week. Look at the billing, see what we're going to be doing. We'll have Vera Lim sign us off as usual.
We'll meet again. Don't know when. Don't know when. But I know we'll meet again some sunny day. Keep smiling through, just like you always do, till the blue skies drive the dark clouds far away. So will you please say hello to the folks that I know? Tell them I won't be long. They'll be happy to know that as you saw me go, I was singing this song. We'll meet again, don't know when. Don't know when, but I know.